Everything about this moment in history seems uniquely designed to challenge our mental health. We are suffering, we need answers, and we need help. That's why I'm so thrilled to be partnering with Sound Mind Live and Consequence of Sound to host their new podcast series, Going There. I'm Dr. Mike Friedman, clinical psychologist and life coach. With Going There, I will talk with musicians who struggle with their mental health, just like us. After all, mental illness affects us all. And the same artists who have stepped up to share their wonderful work with us are now sharing the intimate details of their journey in living with mental illness. We are going to ask the tough questions, and we're going to have the difficult conversations, all so that we can learn from each other. But more importantly, to shine a light on the difficult topic of mental illness so that we can all come out of the darkness and get the care we need. So we hope you join us on this journey. Going There, the crossroads where music and mental health meet.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With, the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence of Sound, and the Consequence Podcast Network. First off, thank you so much for making your way over here, checking out this series, however you found us. I do hope you like what you hear enough to hit the subscribe button, because we put out three new interviews every single week, a brand new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So if you want to keep up with your favorite artist, if you want to discover some new ones, if you want to know what's happening in the music world, you can subscribe to us at iTunes and Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, or YouTube, where you can find the video versions of these interviews as well. I'm Kyle Meredith, and today I'm talking with the Staves. The trio of sisters are back with a record called Good Woman. We're going to hear about what it was like making this album in personally volatile times. You know, a lot of the times we're talking about what's going on in the world, but really their own lives were flipped upside down in the past few years after the passing of their mother and sister Emily's pregnancy, which led to a point where they really considered if they even wanted to continue. But luckily they did. They called up producer John Congleton, who's done some amazing work with like St. Vincent and everybody else. And I want to hear about what new tricks he brought to their game, experimenting with their sound. We hear there's a little bit of a inspiration from the war on drugs and really just becoming more honest in their songwriting. You'll hear a lot about that, not being afraid to speak their truth. So let's jump into this and talk about this record called Good Woman. It's Kyle Meredith with the Staves.
Oh, thank you. Hi.
Yeah, we're well, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, we're doing okay. We're still here. We're still going.
Still existing.
That's the point. That's the good news right there. Well, again, congratulations on this record with Good Woman. It's such, there's so many layers and so many amazing things happening in this, so many interesting moments, aurally, lyrically, the whole thing. I mean, it's, as a fan, I think it's everything that you want out of a record. I know the road to get here wasn't easy, and there is some backstory. There's a weird thing to start out with, but you know, there's birth, there's death, there's heartache, mm-hmm. there's everything going on. In a moment like this, like, how important does songwriting become? Does it have to be pushed off to, you know, the back seat of your lives, or did it become sort of the escape in itself?
I think initially, I think there's kind of a romantic idea that I wanted to have of like finding my escape in music and being able to just pour everything out. But in reality, I think it takes a little longer, and I had to just push it to the back seat for a while. And then when I was ready, then I could unleash hell.
Yeah, I mean, birth and death and all those things. I mean, just the usual things that albums are about, right?
You know.
Yeah, I mean, for us, I think, you know, we lost our mother, and it was a complete shock to us. So we had to, and that was 2 years ago, and we really needed to take a break at that point. And we had tried to carry on. At this point, we were demoing the record, and we'd already assembled most of the record by that point, and we'd been self-producing. And we tried to carry on for a bit and went to the studio and I think had an idea that it's what she would have wanted us to do because our mum was our biggest fan and, you know, our best friend and was so supportive always of anything we did. But, you know, especially the fact that we decided to work together as sisters in a band. And we had some idea of maybe carrying on, you know, for her sake. And soon you realise that you have to just do what you need to do when it comes to these, you know, huge events that happen in your life. So we ended up taking some time out and I think felt quite adrift. We'd parted ways with our management at that point. And I think that it's kind of that thing when you take your foot off the gas, you slow down and then you forget how you ever did it in the first place. And, you know, you lose momentum and it was like, are we going to finish this record? Are we even going to be a band anymore? What are we doing?
Is it even good? Do I even like the songs? Who am I? What am I doing?
And we ended up reaching a point where we'd been given enough time and space from our by our label and everyone that we'd worked with. We were very lucky that they were very sympathetic and gave us that time to grieve and to heal. And during that time, we found out that Emily, who's not on this interview today, was pregnant and was having a baby, and she's had a baby girl. So it was like it just brought so much joy and love into our lives, having this new addition to the family. And I think it really brought us all back to life.
Yeah, definitely.
And then we got in touch with John Congleton when we felt ready to go back in the studio. And he's produced albums that we love by St. Vincent and by Angel Olsen and Sharon Van Etten. And John just kind of gave us, I think, a confidence boost. He was just saying, you know, you guys are on the right track. This stuff's good. And I think you have something to say. And I really want to hear it. And let's finish it. And so we did. So that's kind of,
God bless him,
kind of the journey, I guess, we've been on.
Congleton, I mean, I'm such a fan, of course, of what he's been doing this past decade and everything. He's really good about experimentation without going too extreme. Mm-hmm. Like I think he still understands the song, you know, to be in there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'd be curious as to, you know, maybe specifically, like, what new tricks did you all pick up from him?
Well, I kind of think, aside from I don't know, not speaking specifically about specific ideas, but I do think that the overall energy and principles of how he works are so good and so healthy. We can spin ourselves out and overthink things quite a lot and dawdle, and he's just the antithesis of that. He was just this real shot of energy,
a shot in the arm.
And he just, yeah, he's very, with every sonic decision that he makes, he doesn't half-heartedly do it. He really goes for it and is really confident in his decisions. And I think that was a really great energy to be around.
Yeah.
And I'd like to kind of learn from that.
I think as a mission statement for the record, it became quite clear as we were assembling the songs over the last few years that we were being a lot more honest, I think, lyrically. And I think bold was the word we kept using. We didn't want to be afraid in the studio to just try stuff and push things to the limit. And, you know, reach out and kind of experiment and take things a little further than we have before. So John really was the best person to do that with. He's really open to your ideas and really committed to, you know, trying stuff out rather than having his own kind of agenda of how he wants things. So it was really lovely to work with him in that way. And also, you know, we'd assembled a lot of these demos and had a lot of ideas already there. So it's sometimes a difficult position for a producer to come in at a later stage at a record and not want to kind of put their own stamp on it and change everything. And he was so sympathetic to what we'd already done. So it was, yeah, I mean, it was just perfect.
Yeah, and it ended up being a good kind of patchwork of everything that we'd done before and everything that he brought.
Well, it is interesting because when I listen to it, like right when Best Friend started, I thought, oh, that's interesting. I can hear a little bit of maybe what you guys were doing with Y Music, you know, a little bit in there. But otherwise, the thing that struck me with this record is I don't hear a lot of musical references, a lot of musical touch points. Like, you know, with some albums, you're like, oh, I bet they were listening to, I bet mm-hmm. they were listening to Bowie, whatever, you know. That doesn't really, I don't really get that a lot from this one. Was that the case? I mean, did you all find yourself saying that, oh, let's try this because of whoever did that?
I think that there's probably influences in there. I myself, I think partly because everything happened over quite a long period of time. Mm. So it wasn't this condensed period of working.
Yeah.
That's kind of summed up by exactly what you were listening to at the time. And certainly, like you said, it wasn't like, we listened to this David Bowie album and this is how we want our record to sound.
Right.
It definitely was an amalgamation of, I think, a lot of living and experiencing. I mean, I guess there's a song called Satisfied on the record, and I think I was leaning into the war on drugs for me, for the production for that one. That was something that I was into. But I mean, really, you don't want to sound arrogant like it exists in this vacuum and we're just these creatives that take no inspiration from anyone. But there definitely wasn't kind of one leading thing at all.
Yeah, I think the main leading thing was just wanting to, when we could, more than emulate something, but I don't know, try to play with sonic space a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like try and use field recordings and along with more close-up vocal sounds and things like that, just to, I don't know, to make the listener feel like they're jumping into lots of different spaces.
Well, you can hear though. I do love the concept of adding the field recordings in. It really does make it this whole piece, you know, and I don't know if it's meant to be listened. I mean, I guess as an album, I think most artists would hope to be listening to as one piece, but even when you look, even at just a track list, I mean, you know, the way it's laid out, Paralyzed, Devotion, Failure, Satisfied, Trying, like at any point, did you all think, is this telling a linear story at all?
Oh, wow.
I mean, I think that definitely when we were kind of throwing out all the titles and thinking about the track listing, we definitely did realize that, man, there are some pretty real titles there.
Yeah. I mean, lyrically, we'd been the most honest on this collection of songs, and even looking back at the last two records, even the album artwork was quite obscure. We were quite obscured in there. In the first record, it was illustrated album artwork. The second one, we're like in the distance in sort of silhouettes. Whereas this one, we decided to just put our faces on it and really fill up that whole space in a way of just really owning up to what's on there. We're not trying to hide behind anything anymore. We're older now, life's too short, you have to say how you feel and not be afraid to, I guess, to speak your truth.
There's a lot of that on there. And compliments on the first single as well with Good Woman.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, that's such thanks. A you know powerful statement. I was thinking that, you know, it's become an outdated thing now for, you get a lot with a lot of guys, you know, the old songs about what it meant to be a man, and that just seemed so... Mm-hmm. You know, when you hear those songs now, it's almost like an eye roll, and to hear the flip on that, you know, to, I guess, a sense of power. I'm obviously saying this as a white guy coming at this angle, but
How dare you?
but it's easy to feel exactly what you guys were talking about. And I think that's what I mean by the strong statements that's heard throughout this record. I mean, it is a powerful album, and I can't compliment you guys enough on that.
Oh, thank you.
I'm so glad that you responded to it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the album's called Good Woman, but it's also about, it's not just, you know, gendered, it's about the idea of being a good person and what that means. And there's a song called Trying on the record, and at one point we thought that might be what we called the album, because it's this idea of, isn't everyone just trying their best?
Yeah.
Isn't everyone just trying and not necessarily achieving? Maybe we're failing along the way, but life sometimes feels like it feels like that. But then we thought that was quite a downer album title, so Good Woman felt like it kind of summed everything up, especially with, you know, our sister Emily having her baby daughter, and thinking about our mother. It was this idea of womanhood being so ever present and ingrained, you know, inherently in what we do. But I think that, you know, the mind is so scattered and full of kind of worry and tension, and especially at the moment, although obviously we didn't make the record during this lockdown, but I think that it comes across in the kind of sonic landscape we were talking about that we were building. There's quite a lot of different stuff going on, and it's almost like if you could put a kind of wire into someone's head and their brain and kind of allow all those thoughts that are whirring around in your head, like worrying about going back over the past and rehashing situations you were in and mistakes you made, and sometimes it's like you have to try and let it out And I think that, I guess, some of the patchwork kind of element to the album, I feel like, is at least my mind just kind of emptying out.
The inane babble in Jess's head.
Yeah, the voices in my head.
I'm really, really happy that you let it out. I really, really am. You've made your best album yet. Your all's best album yet. Thank you so much for continuing to do what you do. And thank you so much for taking the time to talk about it today, too.
All right. Thank you, Kyle.
Thanks. Bye.
Take care.
Now, the last time I spoke with the Staves, it was over the phone line with Jessica Stavely Taylor, as we talked about the trio's new single. At that point, this, I think, was back in 2017. They had just released Tired as Fuck and had been touring behind their Sleeping in a Car EP and was on their way to a Louisville show. So I want to include that that interview here as well. Part two of Kyle Meredith with the Staves.
Hi, I'm good. How you doing?
We're doing good over here. It's nice to talk to you. How you been?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm just having some breakfast right now.
We're excited to have you back. I see the date on here. Moved to Headliners Music Hall March 6th. Are you still touring behind the new EP, the Sleeping in a Car EP? Is that what you call this tour?
We're just kind of touring, really. We're sort of not doing it in support of a particular release. We're just enjoying having the opportunity to tour around the US. It's slightly unusual because, yeah, we don't have a new album, a new record or anything out. We are releasing a song that's going to come out, I believe, this week, a single that's coming out. So we're going to be, and we have a video for that and everything. So we'll get to play that on the tour. So, we're kind of, it's not really supporting anything. It's just supporting our careers.
As you have to do every now and then. That's interesting, though, because you said it's a bit unusual, and that's true, because it seems like you guys always have a new release in some way. I mean, when you look back at the catalog for, you know, I guess you've been doing this now for, what, eight years, somewhat semi-officially and everything, but there are so many EPs and albums. It almost seems like you've always got something going on. And I don't know if that's the benefit of working with family or just a solid constitution for work, or what do you attribute that to? Because that's a bit unusual in itself.
Oh, well, thank you. Because I always feel that we don't do enough. And I'm always paranoid looking at how, like, prolific other artists are, like, writing a new album every week. Like, it didn't, you know, Bright Eyes, Connor Oberst. He put out two records in a year or something last year, and Ryan Adams is another one that puts out a record like every 6 months. I guess we have done a bunch, and we have kept busy. I'm not sure if it has got anything to do with being family necessarily, but I think it's just, I mean, we put our last full length record out in, it came out in the UK in March 2015. I can't remember what the US release date was. I think it was possibly June. Mm-hmm. So it's been a good year and a half. And I think that we felt that we weren't ready to go into the studio and make another full-length record. So we had these new songs that ended up being the Sleeping in a Car EP. And we just felt like, well, are there any rules? Are there any reasons that we can't release, you know, like a three-track thing? And we just sort of spoke with our label and our manager, and they were like, you guys should just release music how you want to release it, because sometimes if we were to wait and put those three songs on a full-length record, then we still wouldn't have released those songs yet, because we'd still be waiting for the whole thing to be finished. And right. It can be frustrating sometimes as a band when you sit on material for a long time before it comes out. And it can feel really frustrating. So it's been really nice to kind of be, I don't know, not break the rules, but sort of not have the standard rules in place with it, and sort of put out an EP. And we're putting out a standalone single this month, as I said. Mm. And and we're just kind of touring wherever they'll have us in the US and Canada at the moment. So it's great.
Well, what can you tell me about the single? I mean, was that recorded recently, or is that still back from some of the older songs too?
It was recorded a few months ago. We recorded it out at April Bass, which is the studios in Wisconsin that we made the last EP and the last record at the studio's owned by Justin Vernon from Bon Iver. So it's I guess it's another part of that whole catalogue of stuff that we've been doing out there. So it's actually a double A-side single. It's called Tired as Fuck, excuse the curse word. And the other side is called Train Tracks. So
the other side is the one I'll be playing, right?
Yeah, exactly. I imagine it's probably not going to get played much on the radio, but we do have a clean version for people to play if you want to.
Good.
And you can just call it Tired As, I suppose. Mm-hmm.
Well, that was like the Jenny Lewis band, which was her side project was named something similar, and we got quite used to doing that. So
it's weird actually, because we met Jenny Lewis this summer. We did some festivals and ended up like singing with her on a couple of her sets. We're like really big fans of her band and think she's awesome and she's really cool. And we were talking about her band Nice as Fuck, and we said, we've got a single called Tired as Fuck that's coming out, and like we want to just say that we actually wrote the song ages ago, so we're not copying you. She's like, oh man, I don't care. She's like, you can do whatever you want. Because we were like, it's going to look like it's the same. And we wanted to make t-shirts because they've got really cool t-shirts. So those guys, just saying like the band name. We wanted to make t-shirts saying the name of our song, but we thought it might just seem a bit too similar. But who knows? We might. But yeah, it's probably a weird choice to release, in terms of radio and stuff like that, but it just happened to be a song that we recorded, and like I was saying before, we were kind of sitting on it for a while, and it was like, we should just put this song out. What are we going to do, wait for another year and a half or something until we finished a record? And we're playing it live in the set, and we have been doing for a few months, and so we were kind of like, let's just put it out. And we're putting it out on a 7-inch that you can buy at the shows, so that's kind of as much thought that went into it. And then we kind of realised, like, I don't think anyone's going to play it on the radio. So it can be a nice live thing for people to come to.
I mean, and I'd be curious, though, with a title like that, with a sentiment like that. I mean, is that sort of a literal thing or a bigger picture type of tired?
Well, it's a good question. I think it's probably a bit of both. I think it is exactly both of those things. The song's got, I suppose, more of a rocky kind of edge to it. Like there's a load of distorted guitars on there, and it's actually quite a fun song.
It should be with a title like that.
Yeah, it's a kind of fun song, almost kind of like not celebrating it, but kind of admitting defeat in a way and kind of holding your hands up and just being like, all right, well, this is kind of how it is and how I feel. But I think ultimately it's quite a sad message, but it's kind of got quite a upbeat feeling to the music.
Another one of your songs I would like to know about, and it is one of the recent EP, the Sleeping in a Car EP, and that's Outlaw, which kicks it off.
Mm-hmm.
How does a song like that get built? Because that's, I mean, of course it starts out with just the voices and almost feels like a loop, like what's the history of that song? How did you guys write that?
Well, that was predominantly written by Camilla, who's my youngest sister.
Mm-hmm.
And she's really great at writing, like at making demos on her laptop. And so she made a demo at home that had all the kind of basic production things in place. So she really came up with the whole idea. She just sort of started by layering up a bunch of vocals to create that loop, like you said, that sort of vocal bed, the main thing of the song, I suppose, like kind of the backbone of the whole song. And then she wrote a melody over the top of that. And that was kind of the main thing she had. And then she came up with a really nice beat as well. And then it was kind of like, right now I need everyone else's opinions and help. And kind of, how do we make this bigger in the studio? So it's actually not that different from her original idea. But it was definitely a challenge because it wasn't the kind of based around a guitar and everyone sitting down and singing together. So it was more of a challenge to build, and it actually took quite a long time. It was cooking for a while, and we'd kind of return to it and add bits to it, and then be like, we've put way too much on it now. But it's one that I'm really glad that we've had a lot of really great feedback on that song, and it makes me happy because for us we felt we were doing something quite different from other things we've done, and there's always a kind of you know, have we lost the plot? Does this make sense to anyone else apart from us? But it's, yeah, it's nice that it kind of has made sense for everyone, I think.
Yeah, was that difficult for you guys to translate into the live show afterward?
Yeah, it has been difficult, yeah. We, Camilla uses a vocal loop pedal that she's become a bit of a master at, actually. So she kind of builds the loop up on stage live, and then we all have to concentrate really hard and play in time to that loop. You work on a recording for months in the studio, and then it's like high-fiving each other, like, yeah, we've done it. And then you finish and you just think, like, how are we going to play this live? we've figured it out. We've got a loop pedal, and it's actually great because the three of us, you know, we sing in three-part harmony, and that's kind of our sound or whatever, but sort of a thing we do. And it's really fun having the opportunity to have, you know, infinite number of extra voices join us on stage, but it's our own voices multiplied. So it's been a really cool addition to the set, having that pedal.
Well, I look forward to hearing that and whatever you guys are going to play. And I look forward to the new song, too. So that's really, really exciting.
Yes.
So, thank you, Jess, for talking today. And again, we'll see you March 6th at Headliners here in Louisville.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks very much for having me.
All right, take care.
You too. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
My thanks to the Staves. Again, the brand new record is called Good Woman. Thanks to you as well for checking out this episode. Before you get out, please do hit that subscribe button again so you can keep up with all of the interviews that we put out here three times a week. Again, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, YouTube for the video versions, or wherever you get your podcasts from. After that, head over to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, an hour full of song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, and bonus interviews. Again, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence of Sound has your music and film news. You can also find me on the social media spots, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all three of them at Kyle Meredith. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
I'm Leo Phillips, host of This Must Be the Gig. We're a weekly podcast that documents everything about the world of live music. Speaking with choreographers, costume and set designers, the people who run beloved venues and festivals, and, of course, speaking with musicians about that one gig that changed their lives. Get your peek behind the curtain at consequenceofsound.net, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.